God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 12th day of November, 2006, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. It's a very musical service tonight, starting with a guitar and harmonica solo, and then our quartet will sing for us, followed again by a solo by Miss Barbara Dewey. The sermon tonight is brought to us by the Lord's missionary to the land down under, Reverend Drew Paul, and much of his sermon will be musical as well. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Barbara, you'd be ready if you would.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears,
God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything,
God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Shadows that fall across my path. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my confusions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all.
God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything.
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all the hang-ups, fear and unbelief. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the giants of fear and unbelief, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything.
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears.
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Thank you.
When we came back for this term, I was really not planning to stay in Australia. For those of you who don't know me, in my past, I was actually raised Roman Catholic. I got saved in the Army. I spent 5 years in the Army as an airborne ranger. And I grew up in the catering business, and they asked me what I wanted to do when I joined. I said, anything but cook. So I ended up going into the Rangers. And it was a pretty hard thing, but I did make it. And I actually had been witnessed to before I went in the Army. Someone had given me a gospel tract, and I held on to it for 4 years. I made a total of 56 jumps. I did not get saved until after I'd made 30 parachute jumps, and that was not smart. Okay? But I did get saved, and God led me to Australia on a military exchange, and I surrendered to preach, and we've been there for about 15 years now. And the church that we started, it was basically a Bible study that I got off my father-in-law, who's a missionary, and he just gave, there's a couple of people is all it was. And in the first 8 years of our church's life, we had about a dozen professions of faith and 4 baptisms. And guess how many of those 4 that were baptized actually stuck it out? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Anybody? None. El Zilcho, that's right, none. So I came home on furlough, and I'm a positive guy. I'm a glasses half full kind of guy, you know. But I was starting to work on a master's degree, and I was planning to go after 9/11 hit. Man, I went and saw the recruiter the next week. I was ready to go back in, you know, and I was gung ho. And I thought, well, you know, I could serve the country as a chaplain in the Army, especially with all the background and everything. So I started working on the master's degree so I would be able to go into back into the Army as a chaplain. I could not possibly finish a building program and work in the church and do everything. And I had to finally quit the master's program and had to take it. It was not the Lord's will for me to go back in the Army. But I was still very discouraged because I felt like I was spinning my wheels over there and wasting my time. I don't suppose any of you preachers have ever been discouraged. And I even called my pastor, Brother Keith Taylor, down in Denison, Texas. I said, preacher, I said, my wife's parents are getting back here in a year's time. This is in like early 04, like March 04 or something, I called him. And I said, when they come, we're going. I said, I'm coming back to America, and I'm going to just find a church there, and I'm have my baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet, and Buick. I do drive a Buick. And that's what I'm going to do. And I said, I feel like God's done with me here. And he said, well, if that's the way you feel like the Lord's leading you, that's fine, but you need to understand something. When you come back here, you're only going to get 3 months' worth of support because after that, I'm going to drop you and I'm going to contact all your supporting churches and tell them to drop you too. And I went, ouch. That's what you call tough love. And my wife and I got to talking about what it means to really be surrendered to the will of the Lord. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who use one of 3 things to decide what God's will is. The first factor they look at is how they feel. Okay. The second factor they look at is their circumstances. And at that time, we had lost $500 a month support, and the Australian dollar had gone from 55 cents up to about 82 cents, which meant in about 6 months' time, I lost about 40% of my buying power. Okay. So I was pretty discouraged about that, too. And then the third thing some Christians use is results. And like I said, I told you what the results were. Well, after the preacher said that, my wife and I got to talking. He said, you know, we can't really base God's will on all these other factors. We just need to be surrendered. And if God wants us to stay here for the rest of our lives with these circumstances and with these results, or lack of results, I should say, and no matter how we feel, we need to be willing to stay here. And I said, you're right, honey. And so we prayed. We recommitted ourselves to the work there. And within days of making that commitment, God began to bless. And I'm here to tell you that in the last 2.5 years, God has literally blessed the work to the point where we have had 7 times more results in the last 2.5 years than the previous 8 years combined. Amen. We've had, like, I think right now it's somewhere in the mid-30s of people that have been saved and the same number of baptized. And there's some that came in that were saved that needed to be scripturally baptized. And there's some who have been saved who have not yet been baptized. And God is blessing. We have 70% of our people going through the ABCs of Christian growth for discipleship. And I'm an old path guy as far as, you know, we're not jigging for Jesus in my church. I'm a King James man. I'm a Baptist. And people have said, oh, you can't build. There's other independent Baptist missionaries who've come over and gone this total progressive, contemporary route. And they're not building a church. In fact, our church is one of the fastest growing churches in Australia right now, at least as far as New Works goes. And so God has really blessed that way. And it's all God, and it's just me getting out of the way and letting him work through us. And I'm humbled by it. And at this stage, I don't know what the future holds. I know who holds the future. And if God wants me there the rest of my life, then that's what we'll do. Any of you have any questions about anything I said or about the country? I've had a lot of people ask me about Steve Irwin. My church is 2 hours from his zoo. I've been there about 3 or 4 times. I've always wanted to try to witness to the guy because when we would go up to the zoo, sometimes he'll actually be there, but he was never there when I was there. Because I always had tracks, because I wanted to give him a track. I thought, if nothing else, it'd make a really cool prayer letter, you know. But I never got a chance to witness to Steve Irwin. And in 15 years that I've been in Australia, I've never once heard him mention God. So I don't know what his spiritual condition was when he died. But I do know that there's about 20 million Australians over there who are still alive that we need to reach. And that's who I need to focus on. So that's kind of where we are. Any questions? All right, now I have a very short sermon for you tonight. So I'm going to give you the rest of my sermon in music. Because I have found that, you know, you can basically sing to someone that you're going to drop kick them through the window and they'll smile about it. No, I'm not going to drop kick you. So I've got a few songs. I'm going to sing a couple songs. And like I said, I've got about a 10-minute sermon or something like that. But I'm going to sing probably about 3 songs for you. And what these are Australian bush songs, or what we call, they call them bush ballads or folk songs. And what I've actually done is I've taken the idea of it and just to sort of draw a parallel into the Christian life. I think I did a couple of them the last time I was here. Did I do Waltzing Matilda last time I was here? Well, you've gone through, as we say in Australia, you've gone through a loaf of bread and a bar of soap since then. So I will do that. But I'll save it for the end. I was talking to you about, I did bring my harmonica up here, didn't I? Let's see. Can someone hand that to me? Now, I got to tell you, while he's doing that and while I'm setting this up, I've always wanted, you know, I was really disappointed when I found out that the screen wasn't going to be here, because I've always wanted to make it onto the silver screen, you know? But the next best thing is me, you know, a little preach in a movie theater, so, you know, that's pretty cool, too. So, and I have to say, this is one of the most beautiful theaters I have ever seen. I was just really taken by the architecture here. This is the way it's been for a long time. When was this thing built? And there's been a lot of history that's passed by since this building went up. All right, this first song I'm going to do for you, it comes from an old tune called Traveling Down the Castlereagh. And this is really normally a song I would sing at a fellowship meeting to preachers, because the title of it is Preach, Men, Preach. But in the actual ballad, it's a guy who's a station hand. And we talk about a station, that's a ranch, a cattle station or a sheep station. And so he's a station hand, and he's really looking for work, and because he can't find work as a station hand, he tries his hand at shearing, he tries racing his horse, he tries a few things, and finally he does go back to being a station hand. So it's all about really looking for a job in life. And I believe the highest profession, the most important job you could ever have is to be a preacher of the Word of God. And so this song tells a little bit about my testimony, is how God called me to preach, and the importance of preaching, because that's how God has chosen to save them that believe through the foolishness of preaching. And so it's called Preach, Men, Preach. I was saved as a young man in 1985. Though once I was spiritually dead, in Christ I am alive. I've had the need to witness within me since that day. And then from God's call to preach, I could not turn away. Preach, men, preach. This isn't a call from men, commissioned by our Savior to preach God's salvation plan. Preach, men, preach. While it is still today, this world badly needs to hear what the Bible has to say. The
winds of change are blowing through churches in the land, using entertainment in reaching fallen man. But God made it clear how to reach souls from the start, the Word of God and the Spirit of God upon the human heart. Preach, men, preach, this isn't a call from man, commissioned by our Savior to preach God's salvation plan. Preach, men, preach, while it is still today, this world badly needs to hear what the Bible has to say. You may think I'm narrow and you may say I'm straight. The Bible is the narrow way and Jesus is the gate. I'm glad God gives conviction to stand upon His word. I'll teach and preach the old paths till all the world is heard. Preach, men, preach, this isn't a call from man, commissioned by our Savior to preach God's salvation plan. Preach, men, preach, while it is still today, this world badly needs to hear what the Bible has to say. You may feel like you're working your fingers to the bone, and because you haven't bowed the knee, you're standing all alone. But if you know God's promise, you shouldn't be surprised to learn that there's a remnant who have not compromised. Preach, men, preach, this isn't a call from man, commissioned by our Savior to preach God's salvation plan. Preach, men, preach, while it is still today, this world badly needs to hear what the Bible has to say. Preach, men, preach, this isn't a call from man, commissioned by our Savior to preach God's salvation plan. Preach, men, preach, while it is still today, this world badly needs to hear what the Bible has to say.
Well, that song might, some people might be insulted by that song, brother. If they were, I'd say, well, if I've offended you, just come up and apologize to me and I'll forgive you. All right. Now, I think your preacher and I see eye to eye on a few things. All right. Now, this song here I just wrote since I've come back to America. And I wrote it in 3 days. While driving my minivan with a 13-inch TV in between the front armrests, while the kids play Dreamcast or watch movies, driving out through West Texas. But there's an original song called The Overlanders. And overlanders were men in the olden days of Australia who would drive cattle for thousands of miles. Now, of course, they put them all on a train or they put them on these big trucks, what they call road trains. They've got several semi-trailers actually connected, and they go across the country like that. It's really a sight. But back in those days, if someone wanted cattle, or they would actually hire these men to move the cattle. So they're basically cattle drivers. And so the original tune, I got the idea of this, and it kind of went like this. There's a trade we all know well, it's bringing the cattle over. Now listen while I tell to you how I became a drover. I wanted stock for Queensland, to Kempsey I did wander. Bought 1,000 cattle there and then turned overlander. Well, that was the song, you know, and people got to looking at our church building, and I do have some pictures out on the display in the lobby, and I do have prayer cards. I want to, before I forget, on the way out, please grab a prayer card and pray for my family and I and for our ministry, and also my mom, who's not saved. She's actually dying of leukemia, and that's why we're basically based up in Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm from. But people looked. I do have pictures of the church building on the display there, and some of the folks looked at our church, and it was actually an army mess hall from the army. It was for feeding the sergeants. It was a sergeant's mess hall, and it was moved to our property and modified and added onto, and it's a beautiful little church now. But I had some people say, when you look at the front of this church, it looks like a train station, like a country train station. There's a veranda on the front. It kind of looks like the platform that you would see. at an Australian or an English train station. And I said, well, it is a train station. They said, it is? I said, yes, you know, there's a train that's headed for glory, the heaven-bound train, and the only ticket that God will accept is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have your ticket? And so I just turned it into a tool to witness. And then another thing that happened with our church is our disabled ramp was not accepted on the inspection. And the reason it wasn't is because after it was already there, and then these people came along and put our parking lot in for us, and they dug it too deeply over there in that corner where the ramp comes down. And then it meant that the access ramp leading up to the disabled ramp was too steep, and you could not possibly push a wheelchair up it. And the grade was too steep. So we had to build a whole other ramp. And I had people say, man, that thing looks like a sheep station. Because like when in a sheep station, they've got all these ramps for corralling the sheep around. And they said to me, look, my church building looks like a sheep station. And I said, well, it is a sheep station. They said, it is? I said, yes. They said, it's really a sheep station. I said, yes. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So I just turned it into another tool for witnessing. But I believe our church is not only a train station and a sheep station, but it's also a gospel station. And a station is a ranch. It's just a place where the gospel can be put out. And so this song, to the tune of the Overlanders, is called The Gospel Station. Hopefully I can play it without messing it up. There's a mission we know well. It's planting a gospel station, an independent Baptist church where we can preach salvation. God gave a burden to me for folks here in Australia. Our gospel station reaches souls. If you wonder how, I'll tell you. Spread the gospel round now and don't you keep it hidden. It's only through the cross of Christ men have their sins forgiven. The days that we are living in are perilous and hard. When folks are serving sin and self, God's word they disregard. Iniquity abounding, their love of right grows cold. It's only through God's Spirit that our witness can be bold. Spread the gospel round now and don't you keep it hidden. It's only through the cross of Christ men have their sins forgiven. Pleasures and possessions are the new gods of the day. They're chasing after temporal things that soon will pass away. Forsaking all, I'll follow my Lord whose ways are higher. The house, the car, the clothes, the toys will perish in the fire. Spread the gospel round now and don't you keep it hidden. It's only through the cross of Christ men have their sins forgiven. The gospel has the power to change a sinful heart. A man can find forgiveness, receive a brand new start. Through faith and true repentance, a soul is born again. A gospel-preaching Baptist church is a sinner's faithful friend. Spread the gospel round now and don't you keep it hidden. It's only through the cross of Christ men have their sins forgiven. Christ gave us this commission, his very last command. Repentance and forgiveness we preach throughout the land. The gospel is the message to every tribe and nation. The way we bring it to the world is through the gospel station. Spread the gospel round now and don't you keep it hidden. It's only through the cross of Christ men have their sins forgiven. Spread the gospel round now and don't you keep it hidden. It's only through the cross of Christ men have their sins forgiven. Got time for one more, and this is, I guess, some would call the silver donut of them all. I've done actually 15 of these songs, and I'm going to try and make a CD, but it's just a matter of getting hooked up with a recording studio that I can afford and that can actually do some mixing and things, and so I'm looking at doing that. I've had a lot of requests for the CDs, so if I do, then you'll all be the first to know. I'll put it in a letter or something and let you all order. So, and as far as the DVD goes, I think we're going to try to burn a copy of it before I leave town tomorrow. So later on, when you do have the screen back, I can make it to the silver screen. All right. I got the idea. This is actually the first song I rewrote of the Australian ones, and I got the idea to rewrite this after watching the closing ceremony of the Olympics in 2000 in Sydney, because I saw 100,000 people singing Waltzing Matilda, and I sat there in my living room thinking to myself, these people all know Waltzing Matilda, but Waltzing Matilda is not going to save them. They need the gospel. And so this song is called Waltzing Matilda Won't Save. This land down under they call the lucky country, a place blessed by God with prosperity. And the people are laid back, no worries if you are late. They simply say, g'day, how you going, mate? Waltzing Matilda won't save a soul in this sunburnt land. We need the gospel here in Australia. Will you obey our Lord's last command? Many of the founders sailed for Australia on convict ships they were shackled within. And even to this day, the people are still prisoners, bound and shackled by chains of sin. Waltzing Matilda won't save a soul in this sunburnt land. We need the gospel here in Australia. Will you obey our Lord's last command? The rain is needed badly by the farmers to grow their crops and to feed the herd. But the greatest drought we have in Australia, a famine of hearing God's holy word. Waltzing Matilda won't save a soul in this sunburnt land. We need the gospel here in Australia. Will you obey our Lord's last command? Waltzing Matilda won't save a soul in this sunburnt land. We need the gospel here in Australia. Will you obey our Lord's last command? We need the gospel here in Australia. So let's work together hand in hand. All right, if you have your Bibles, and I thank you for that. And really, I'm just trying to use whatever talents that the Lord has given me, trying to be a good steward of what he's given me, and use that for his glory and for his purposes. And I've joked about the fact that I do the song leading, I do the preaching, I do the youth work at my church, I do all kinds of different things. Right now, my in-laws are watching the church for me while in my absence. But I've kind of kidded people, say it's the Drew Paul Show, and now I'm here at a theater. It really is the Drew Paul Show. Proverbs chapter 30, and I'm going to talk to you tonight about something. I just got to check my clock here. All right, we're good. We're good. This is a nice little message. I like it. It's kind of like a miniature atom bomb, because it's power. It's two verses of scripture we're going to look at, and there's a lot in it. And there I am tripping like Gerald Ford. Okay. All right, Proverbs chapter 30. Do you all stand around here when you read the Word of God? Because that's what we do in my church in Australia. So let's stand. You all have been sitting a while. You look too comfortable. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. We're going to talk about a horse leech tonight. Okay, the horse leech. And it says here in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, it says, "The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'll bless the reading of your word, that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit, and that you'd give us an insight tonight, each person here, of the importance of being prepared for eternity and helping others to prepare for eternity. And that anything we do for you, whether it's offering our time, talents, treasure, our affection, it's all in preparation for eternity. Pray if there's any lost person here tonight, that in this auditorium, that you would speak to their heart tonight, that you would convict their soul and show them their need to repent of their sins and to trust Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I was wondering what a horse leech was when I read this text. And so I started to do a little bit of study. And a horse leech is really no different than any other leech, other than the fact that it is a leech that is able to attach itself to a horse or to some other large animal, like a heifer or a bullock or some sort of cattle. And because it's a larger animal and because the animal doesn't have the ability to get rid of the leech, there is an endless supply of blood. Because leeches suck blood, they are parasites, and they get bigger and they get fatter the more blood they suck. And I can relate to leeches because in Australia, just about any fresh body of water that you would find in Australia has leeches in it. So there are times when we've had our youth camps that we've had to go swim in the creek or swim in the pond or in the lake, and you have to do a leech check when you get out. And every once in a while, you got one or two on you. Okay? It's a really pleasant experience. And so leeches are not what we would call a pleasant thing, are they? In fact, if somebody referred to another person as a leech, what are they really trying to say? You can talk to me. This is a four-dimensional interactive sermon on DVD. Okay? You can talk to me here. What's that? Okay, a leech. Okay, they're attached. For what purpose, though? They're a moocher. That's right, you know. They are a freeloader. They just keep sucking in, and they keep sucking in, and basically getting fat. I mean, back in the early days when I was an Army Ranger, I ran into some Jehovah's Witnesses. And they don't believe that you should serve in the military. They're conscientious objectors, okay? And that's their prerogative, you know. But they came to my door, or I ran into them someplace, and I said, "What do you think about military service?" "Oh, we're against that." And here I am in my uniform, my camos. I said, you mean to say that you think me serving in the military is wrong? So you enjoy freedom, though, right? And they said, "Oh, yeah, we enjoy freedom." So basically, you have freedom that has been provided because some mother's son put the uniform on and went to some godforsaken place and died face down in the mud and shed their blood to preserve your right to believe whatever you want to believe, and you call that wrong? They said, "Yeah." So in other words, what you're telling me is you're nothing but a bunch of parasitic maggots living off the fat of the land and supplying nothing in return. Now, I want you to know that since that time, I've gotten a little bit more refined. I'm not as rough around the edges. But nobody likes a moocher. Now, in Australia, the term we use is bludger. And welfare is called a dole. And so if someone is a dole bludger, that means that they are a welfare moocher. Okay? And socialism produces moochers. Okay? Without initiative. Okay? But I do take offense to the fact that sometimes there have been people who have referred to missionaries as moochinaries. How many of you ever heard that term before? Preacher, you probably heard it, haven't you? You ever heard it? Because I find it offensive. I've had people, and I'd say, "Oh, you know what the missionary handshake is? You know? Slap, slap, slap. Boom. To the glory of God." missionaries, and there probably are some missionaries out there who are moochers. I don't have a problem if I go out to lunch with a pastor once in a while to actually pick up the check and pay for it. I realize that that check is not going to bite me. Some missionaries feel that way, okay? But most missionaries I know are not moochers, okay? And we do have something in common with the horse leech. We cry the same thing. What does the horse leech cry? According to our text, he cries two words. They're both the same. Give, give. And of course, missionaries, they do come around. Now, how many phone calls do you get in a week, preacher? Sometimes anywhere between 7 and 15, right? Depending on the week. And those missionaries, they all want to talk about Oklahoma football, and they want to talk about the weather, and they want to find out how you're doing, right? Not exactly. You know, the preacher and the missionary were sitting there talking one day at the fellowship meeting, and the missionary said to the preacher, do you believe in the hereafter? And the preacher said, of course I believe in the hereafter. I wouldn't be in the ministry if I didn't believe in the hereafter. And he said, do you believe in money? He said, well, you can't pay the bills if God bless you. Yeah, I guess I believe in money. And the missionary said, well, good, you must know what I'm hereafter. So that's usually why missionaries come around. But it's not about money. And that's what I want you to understand tonight. It is about souls. Because you know what? Your building program, some might call it a horse leech. I mean, did somebody in the church just like win the lottery and you've got all this money to build a building? Obviously, the preachers had to stand up here and say, you know, we're going to build this building. God's leading us in this direction. And you have to do what? Give, give. And so there are a lot of things besides missionaries that some might say is a bit of a leech. But it's not about money. It's about having a tool that can be used to reach souls. Now, our text gives us four things. Four things that are never satisfied. And I'm here to tell you that it's until these four things are satisfied, missionaries are going to keep coming by and crying, give, give. And I'll tell you something else. I'm not just talking about your time and your talents and your treasure. I'm talking about we need some young people to surrender to missions. Our missionary force is growing older and older and dying off, and there aren't very many young ones coming up to fill the ranks. The missionary force in the United States of America is shrinking. The biggest problem with missionary work today is not a shortage of money. America is prosperous. It's people who will surrender their lives. And so I'll cry, give, give your life. And until these four things are satisfied, we may, after this building program is built, God may bless and fill that up, and then guess what? It may be time to build something bigger. Or start some more churches, which will also require money. So what are these four things that are never satisfied? Well, the first one is the grave. It's in verse 16 there. These four things, they are never satisfied, and they say not, it is enough. They'll never say, I've had enough. The grave is never satisfied. You know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, there are a lot of appointments you can get out of. I don't much like care for going to the dentist. Any of you ever made a dental appointment and then canceled it? Confession's good for the soul. All right. You know, you can cancel an appointment with the barber or with the hairdresser. You wouldn't believe this, but occasionally I have a bad hair day. Okay, I can cancel that appointment, but there's one appointment you're never going to cancel, and it's the appointment with death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death, and Romans 5:12 says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everybody sins, everybody dies, and the grave never says it is enough. In fact, on planet Earth, over 200,000 people die every day. 200,000 people step out into eternity, and they're going to spend that eternity in heaven or in hell. There's only two places you can go, and you have to have a reservation, whether it's going to be smoking or non-smoking. Right? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm here to tell you that if you die in the condition you're in, you're going to go to one of two places, heaven or hell. Okay? And you will die someday. Like our former Surgeon General, Joyce Lynn Elders, she so wisely said, we're all going to die of something. It was pretty wise, you know. Not only is the grave never satisfied, but there's a second thing that's never satisfied. It's the barren womb. I forgot to say something in the beginning. We have a baby on the way. I'm 42. My wife's 40. And my wife was actually pregnant before we left Australia in April. We had no idea. And she thought she had jet lag. Then she couldn't get over it. And she never did get over it because... And this baby is what we call a Gomer Pyle baby. A Gomer Pyle baby is a baby that comes along and says, "Surprise, surprise, surprise." And golly, and a couple of Shazams. And the barren womb is never satisfied. And the reason the barren womb is never satisfied is because it is a God-given natural desire for a woman to want to have a baby. In Australia, we call it when a woman gets clucky. She wants to, she's like a chicken, you know, and she wants to sit on that egg and have a baby. My wife, I mean, for years we tried to have this number three. We never could get it together. Things have never worked out. And then I thought, well, I guess we're just not going to have any more. And then whammo, here it comes. So as far as the population, man, we're doing our bit. You know, they talk about the 2.5. Well, ours is 3. But I'm here to tell you that there are 200,000 people that die on this planet every day. There's probably somewhere around in the neighborhood of 240,000 to 250,000 babies born. You see, the world population is growing. And that's what the barren womb never being satisfied is all about. The world population is increasing by over 10 million every month. There are 6.5 billion people on this planet. And by the year 2010, there will be 7 billion. 7 billion. In fact, a few weeks ago, America made its 300,000th person. Of course, we'd have made that years ago if we didn't have abortion. You know, all these people talk about how stem cell research is going to help us cure AIDS. Well, with over 50 million babies aborted since Roe versus Wade, statistical probability, they probably killed the guy that was going to find the cure. Idiots. I meant that in the nicest possible way. And so the barren womb is never satisfied. There's a third thing that's never satisfied in our... Time is getting away from us, so let's move it along. The earth that is not filled with water. Has there ever been a drought here? Are you in a drought? Because we are in a real drought in Australia. I mean, nothing is green. Our water reservoirs are at 20% capacity. We are at stage 4 water restrictions. We can't run our sprinklers. We can't even water plants outside. We can't even wash our car. That's how bad the drought is. 15 years it's lasted. People that own ranches and, you know, cattle stations have lost everything. And so it's a drought. And, you know, water is important. You cannot survive more than 3 days without water. Spiritually speaking, we cannot survive without the water of life. Okay? And that speaks of two things. It speaks of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and he said, if you drink of that water, you're going to thirst again. Drink of the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It will be a well springing up into eternal life. The water of life. There is a spiritual drought in this land and in this world. And out of 6.5 billion people, over 4.5 billion people have never heard the gospel. And the earth is not filled with water yet. We're far from it. It also means the scriptures. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Ephesians speaks of the washing of water by the word. Amos speaks of a famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that there is a spiritual drought, and until that spiritual drought is satisfied, we have to keep crying, give, give. There's one last thing that's never satisfied. It's fire. You see, the earth is not filled with water, and then it says, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Fire is never satisfied. In fact, right before I left Cleveland, 16 hours from here, I got a 16-hour drive when I leave here tomorrow. Right before I left, there was a fire right around the corner from me. And I didn't know anything about it, but I heard a helicopter flying around, and it's Cleveland, you know. I thought it was a manhunt. And my kids are really scared living there, because Australia's cured me of city living, I'll tell you that. And so I didn't say anything about it. I turned the news on. I thought it was the weather helicopter. And that's what I told the kids. I said, it must be the weather helicopter, because I turned the TV on and saw that they were doing video of the highways and stuff around Cleveland. Well, on the way to school, we passed this house. It was all burned out. And the police were there, and it was all cordoned off. And here, the guy was driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning, saw this house burning. There must not have been any smoke detectors in it. And the house just burned up. I mean, there was a shell there, but not much of it left. And I found out on the radio when I was actually leaving town the other day that 4 children died in that fire between ages 3 and 15. The mother and one child made it out. See, fire won't consume half of a house and say, okay, I'm done. Fire doesn't work. That is not the nature of fire. Fire will burn, it'll keep on burning, and it will consume until there's nothing left. And the fires of hell are equally so. My Bible tells me in Isaiah that hell hath enlarged itself. Do you know why hell hath enlarged itself? It's made itself bigger to accommodate all the people there. If you went out and took a survey today and asked people, do you think more people are going to heaven or more people are going to hell? First of all, most people don't even believe in hell. They believe in heaven, but they don't want to believe in hell. And most people say, well, certainly more people would be going to heaven. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight means narrow and getting more narrow. Stenos, that's where we get the word stenography from, narrow writing. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. But wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You see, there's more people going to hell, and the fires of hell are never going to say, okay, we've got our so many billionth person here, everybody else can go to heaven. It's not going to happen. And if you're here tonight, and you're not saved, and you've never repented of your sins, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ properly, and received Him as your Lord and Savior, I'll tell you something right now, mate. You will split hell wide open. And you better do something about it tonight. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come for you. And for those of us who know people that are saved, or know people that are unsaved, we better get busy. Because the rapture's coming. And even then, people die before the rapture comes, don't they? Yeah, there's 4 things that are never satisfied, and until they're satisfied, we're going to keep crying, give, give. And it's the grave, it's the barren womb, it's the earth that is not filled with water, and it's the fires of hell. And until they're satisfied, we have to keep asking you to give, begging you to give. And if you're here and you're not saved, we're begging you to give your life to the Lord tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Preacher, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, no one looking around. If you're here tonight, and I don't know everyone here, I know very few of you, but you say, missionary, if I died tonight, I know for certain that heaven is my home. I know that I'm not trusting in my baptism or church membership or some flimsy little prayer that I prayed. I really do know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that He lives in my heart. If that's you tonight, if you'll just slip your hand up as a testimony to me, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here and you say, missionary, I could not raise my hand just now. I'll be judgment day honest with you. If I were to die tonight, I'm not sure what would happen to me, but I am concerned about it. And the message I've heard tonight has made me think. Made me think about it. And I am concerned what would happen to me, and I would like for you to remember me in your closing prayer. I promise you I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. It'll be a private thing between me, you, and the Lord. But if you're here tonight and you say, missionary, I could not raise my hand a minute ago. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. If that's you, just slip your hand right up and right down. Is there anybody like that? We're just waiting a moment. God bless you. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. You can put it down. Several of you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else? Maybe you're here as a Christian. You say, missionary? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Maybe you're here and you say, missionary? I am a Christian, but there's some areas of my life. Maybe it's in the area of giving. Maybe it's service. Maybe it's attitude. Or maybe it's just the way you look at people. And you say, missionary, as a Christian, I have a need in my life. Would you please pray for me that I will be able to do some business with the Lord tonight and get it sorted out? If that's you, just slip your hand up. Several of you. God bless you. God bless you. All over the house. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Okay, is there anybody else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these dear people. We thank you for their honesty. We thank you for the good spirit here and the good attitude amongst these people. And I just pray now that you, first of all, would work in the hearts of those that need to be saved. There's several here. They're one heartbeat away from hell. Lord, we don't want them to go there. And I pray that you would give them the courage to step out and to really make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and to choose Him and to receive Him into their heart and life. And I ask for every child of God here, especially those that raise the hand, that you would work down there in the heart where only you can, that you'd give them clarity in their thinking, give them courage and direction. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with missionary to Australia, Drew Paul. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and give us the chance to get to know you. God bless you. Have a great week, and thank you for listening.